KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them. On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
All right, another week of On the Water in the Air. This is Lynn Jurens and my good old partner Neil Jensen. We got Randy Grimes here at the board. Gerald Swindell is coming in here on the Facebook Live invite this morning. This is a little new to some of us.
All the way from Gunnersville, Alabama.
What do they do in Gunnersville on a beautiful August day?
Cook. And like, you, not house, like 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, sit in the air conditioning.
Yes, that's new. Wow. Everybody comes.
Hey, we were wondering, Gerald, whatever happened to that Jack Russell? Did he survive that storm in South Dakota? Is he still around?
There he is.
Where's the Mountain Dew can? By George, he is ready to roll this morning.
He is. He did not like the storm. Go to that light.
He survived the hail.
He did, and he did not like it. Not want to go out of paper.
Yeah. We're cutting in just a little bit, cutting in and out a little bit. I'm not sure if it's and I know you've done this before because we've had a chance to see out in Pierce, South Dakota, do a couple of these from a car wash, or not a car wash. It was a laundromat. Lulu
yes.
was racing cars on the machine in there.
Yes.
So, hey.
In that laundromat, I'll go there, fire in peace.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the bass world, but we've had a little bit of a break, and we thank you for joining us. Yet, in the walleye world, I was tipped onto some little jig-a-liggy deal like this this spring, and I'm like, yeah.
The Olympic, like a harmonic motor in your car. That on like Dakota, I put it. It has any like after get some stuff. It actually helps around the problem, flipping and pitching, hogging the grass. Kind of keeps the grass. It's a cool little smooth it up. Also, a lot of different colors. Like to be set, blues and green. That's what we like our boats out. Accessory look good, but
hey, I'd like to ask the rest of our Facebook Live listeners to let us know: is the volume coming in and out? Is everyone hearing the audio? I know the video is in great shape right now. Is everyone hearing the audio? And Kenny Carter says, "Hey, I want to see you win the classic, there, G. Get it done."
Yeah, I can tell you, it's going to be a little different because I'm liable to Coliseum and burnout.
Yeah, burnout gets a little rougher this time of the year. Yeah,
it's in and out.
It's in and out. Is it in and out on on the radio feed too?
Yeah. We got a call.
All right.
Let me swap house.
Oh, do you think it's maybe, are you getting a good... Are you getting a good cell tower in your house right now?
In Alabama, cell towers moving around.
Randy's calling.
Hold up. I just swapped it. Better?
It's getting there.
Randy's calling. Yeah. Calling.
You know what? The longer we talk, the better it gets.
I can.
He's going to try to move around and get close to a window. Move outside. You got
another house.
Yeah, you got steel roofs on those houses down there.
We solar panel. We deep down here. Tornadoes can blow. Metal roofs is up when a tornado. I'm gonna stop fire to get in this house. Using. All right, better. Well, my wife will. Nobody panic. My wife's hot. Panic.
Nothing like having a hot wife in a hot car.
She has got a 60s car, and she's got a place truck with motor in it. So she's all about now. She just got Camry with the, but she thinks she's hot up down the road. All right, Facebook Live. Oh, what is it? Swapping better.
Yes, we're getting really. It's getting a little better now.
Isn't
that crazy technology? It's so good, but we got to make it work. Wow, you're in the easy chair now.
Well, I do most right here. South Dakota's cold.
You know what? In the winter, that's when we sit inside on the lazy chair, too, because, you know, another one of those two-foot snowstorms. And in South Dakota, unlike our friends in Minnesota, they usually throw in about a 50-mile-an-hour wind with it. So it kind of puts us inside for a day or two. Then we just start researching next year's fishing spots.
Well, Tim, I had to pay several fishing and get ice in our drinks. Can't even drive.
Yeah. Gerald, we still have 10 minutes here to do some radio.
We're going to have to call you.
We're gonna call you right now, probably on that cell phone that you're hanging on to, because I think our feed is just not, the audio is good. The video is great, but the audio keeps kicking in and out for you. And so everybody's a little better, but still cutting in and out. That's Troy Deedy from Sioux Falls, yeah.
Your phone should be ringing.
We're hearing about every third word you're saying, and we know you have a lot more to say.
Good morning.
Hey,
there he is.
Hey, is it coming through loud and clear, Randy? All right, everyone. Randy's gonna get Gerald in here on and get some audio. We're just gonna hang right here with Facebook. Gerald, your pretty face is still on. Well, his wife would say his cute face.
Yeah, there you go. Are you there?
Sir, I'm here.
All right.
There we go.
All right, we're just going to raise the audio up just a little bit here, Gerald. You were saying after our comments on those... Turn our down. All right. Hang on a second. We just about got this dialed in.
All right.
We were just talking about the snowstorms here, and I think I heard Tim Price's name had invited you up for some ice fishing.
He's invited me several times up to go ice fishing, but I have informed Tim that in the south, if we have ice laying around, we put it in our sweet tea. We don't actually go fish on it. That just doesn't look like it. He says it's fun. He says I've got to try it, but he said it's most definitely a cold weather experience. He said, you guys get used to it. I said, well, I'd like to tell you that I would get used to it, but it sounds pretty daggum chilly when you start talking about sub-zero and 40-mile-an-hour winds.
You know, we already asked you about this prop nut, but we were missing and we're a little in and out on that, but really – a lot of guys have started throwing these on their electric trolling motors in this part of the country. Really it kind of related to something in every car engine that we have on there to slow down that vibration, and maybe our electric trolling motors would last a little longer.
Well, it's just it's like the harmonic balancer on the car. You know, you can put a high-end harmonic balancer on a motor, and it'll smooth it up, takes vibration out. And that does prolong the life of the motor, but it also, when you take out vibration, it's less labor on the motor, so your batteries last a little bit longer. But it's actually a really cool deal they come up with just to smooth out trolling motors. I tell guys, you get some wear and tear on one, you beat on it, it gets vibrations in, it gets a little rough. You can put that on there, smooth it up a little bit. They come in several different colors, so it's kind of redneck cool that you can pimp out your ride. You know, you can put it with your boat color, green, red, but. Like yesterday, I'm out flipping the grass on like Gunner's one, plus plowing through the mat, and that prop nut really kind of helps push that grass over the prop, and then lets the trolling motor do its deal, lets the prop heat it up. So it's kind of a cool, it's a two-part deal, smooths it up, better than grass, and it looks sexy. I mean, hey, what else could a redneck want?
Absolutely.
And, you know, not only are there rednecks down south, but you probably met a couple up here in the Dakotas.
Well, let me tell you something. I did. I mean, you think I traveled that far north that I think I'm going to the land of the unforgotten. But when I got there, I thought, hey, I just feel like a whole bunch of my family members. There's a whole bunch of hunting, beer drinking, hanging out, walleye fishing, cooking out on the grill. Just good old boy rednecks. I was really surprised at how laid back it was, like around Lake Oahe and meeting everybody and meeting the fishermen, different style fishermen, where they're from. I thought, man, this is just the South with no trees is all it is.
Well, you're killing the no trees part, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was a good ride home. I told Lynn, I said, hey, wake me up when you see the first big, tall, white oak tree. She goes, you might want to get up. I think I see a tree coming up.
You must have had things to get back for. You didn't take a swing down through the Badlands and the Black Hills. There's a tree or two out there, but there's no big oaks.
There was a lot of people that did that, that did the whole tour. It was funny. I guess I have to confess, I drove 2 hours home and went. I drove 2 days home, got home on a Tuesday evening or something, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and I immediately put the boat in at Gunnersville and went fishing. I told her, I said, I can't stand it. I'm going to go somewhere and catch some big ones. So everybody went to Badlands on a tour and they were hanging out, and we come straight back to Gunnersville to get on a 20-pound bag in the evening.
You know, isn't that something? You travel around this country and, you know, you get on them one time and then the next time it's just a pain in the rear end, isn't it? You put all the hard work, you beat down, you get whacked by a wave or two, and then, by George, you go home with a cold sandwich and a road map in your hand.
Well, that's what you do. Fishing does. I tell everybody, you know, when you get into the sport of bass fishing, a couple of things you're going to learn to accept really quick. Mother Nature ain't friendly, and you're going to get beat. You're going to get beat by your competitors, the weather, and if you can't handle that, you probably need to get out, because this is a very humbling sport. I tell them at the weigh-in that on the Elite Series, there's a bakery back there, and they're cooking up these big old humble pies. They cut off a piece and shove it down your throat, and after you weigh in, you can wash it down with shut-up juice, because you're going to get beat a lot more than succeed. So I think that's the part to me that intrigues me so much. It's like bow hunting. I'm this diehard bow hunter, but I think I love it so much because you fail so much at it. You don't always kill a big giant with a bow. It really pushes me to stay on the game. And I mean, I drove 2 days home. Now, I was mad. I did not like not getting paid, but I drove right home. I said, I'm going to get back down the water, catch me some fish, get back in the swing of things, have a little fun with it, but work on my game. Fishing is a constant work to stay on your game, whether you're either trying to hone in your electronics, trying to fish more. I got a gentleman that lives in my subdivision. He's a retired Marine, did 25 years with the Marines. Now he's retired. He's trying to learn to bass fish, and him and I have been spending a little time on the water. He asked me, he said, dude, you come out here every day like you just absolutely crazy love it. He said, I lived by you 3 years. He said, and I said, you go to the water more than anybody in this town. He said, you fish for a living. He said, what is the deal? I said, I love it, but I want to learn it. And I'm not done learning. And I said, as long as they can create a better graph, and each year imaging gets better, mapping gets better, tackle gets better, I want to get out here, man. I want to get out and learn the game. I want to learn more about bass fishing, but I want to rekindle that flame. I want to fish because I love it. I don't want to fish because somebody told me I had to go. And that's the key at our levels. When you start looking at it as in, I'm being told to go fish, it ain't even fun anymore. You got to fish just because you love it.
That's the difference between, you know, making it, surviving, and not. But today we have a lot of young anglers that are fishing the high school fishing, it's all bass over in Minnesota right now. We have a lot of young anglers that are listening here. Stephen Peace, who just promoted your prop nut, he's the one that told me about it this spring. He's invited a bunch of students from the Thunderhawk fishing team up in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and all the other young fishing teams across the country. And there's some things that are different about how you go about your days and your days on the road and promoting and working for companies that a lot of other people don't do. Can you share with them some of the things that maybe they need to start picking up on, maybe they could do a little bit differently that will stand out to the normal person on the circuit?
I will. I'll address that in a two-part deal. I won't get on my soapbox too much because I'm a little old-school guy that come from a farm and, you know, framing houses, and my mom and dad didn't have an American Express. I thought that was something you just sent on a commercial because we never sure had no credit card in our pocket, and nobody gave me gas money. So coming that way, I guess I'm a little old school and a little brutal, but I will tell one thing to kids today, and it's not just if you want to fish, man. If you want to play football, baseball, basketball, when I spoke to a school, I spoke to Gunnersville fishing team about a year and a half ago, and they had over 600 kids in the gym. And I said, you know, the guy, when I played ball, and I played all three sports, and I was an all-area, all-county athlete, and I was, my wife, so we're getting high. It sounds like we're rebuilding the motor. Y'all hear that? He's going to the gym. Like, hey, you know, I told the kids, I said, when I played ball, I played all three sports. I said, I never really worried about the kid who just ran fast when the coach was watching. I never worried about the kid that just shot foul shots when the coach was in the gym. Never worried about the kid that took infield good when the coach was watching. I always worried about the kid that went running when nobody was looking. You know, the kid that was in the gym with the lights on before the coach got there. All that stuff. So I said, when it comes to fishing, I said, I worry about the guy who's fishing when nobody's looking. You know, the guy who's fishing when he ain't trying to get 2,500 likes on Instagram, when he's not trying to be a YouTube sensation, he's just going fishing. That's the guy I worry about when I'm on tour fishing. So I tell the young kids, I said, don't step out in this industry and think that you can go to a Hummingbird or Minn Kota, go up to them guys and say, you know what, I did this, why don't you guys give me some product? It doesn't work like that. These companies have to have, you have to provide something for that company in return. Companies just don't give out money. If they did, we wouldn't have, the industry wouldn't be here. So I said, I think there's a little bit of a fuzz right there on when to ask for sponsors. And I got a nephew that fishes and just graduated high school, and guys, he's a hammer. I mean, he's a stick. And I tell him right now, I said, don't let me. I said, you better not ask anybody for money to ask for sponsors. And he'll say, Uncle G, why? I said, because you don't deserve them yet. You don't deserve them. I said, you fish. You fish and you catch them. And the Minn Kotas and the Hummingbirds, they'll find you. If you're the next hottest thing coming out of college, they'll find you. I said, wear a white T-shirt, but carry a big old fat bag of weight. That's what you worry about at that age. Spend more time on catching them. Less time on catching sponsors. The big sponsors have come. They're hunting the next Van Damme. They're hunting the next Joe Lee. I said, there's a whole bunch of people asking them for stuff, but they're watching for the people who's catching them. So I said, that's kind of the key for me. And as far as the way I promote guys, I've just been blessed. I mean, Tim Price, he's come down and stayed with me in my house, and he's seen we're small town living, redneck through and through, deer hunting, fishing, going to church on Sundays, that kind of people. And I got so lucky that my fan base accepted me for that I didn't, you know, it just kind of came natural. And when it comes to working with sponsors, I just got like a really crazy sixth sense of humor, and I do things accidentally, and it's been accepted. But I think being able to promote naturally and talk about something that's a big part of my life, it's fun. But you know what? I said, if you believe in the products and you guys do this, if you believe in something, like if you're buying an Ultrex before they were sponsoring you, like we were, that's the deal, because you believe in it. I was buying Sunline before they started giving it to me. So when you believe in a product and you use it, it gets real easy to sell it. That's kind of my spiel in a nutshell. I know that was a little much, but that's kind of how I believe in it. I want to fish products that I believe in. I want sponsors that I have a relationship with, not a business relationship with. I want a sponsor that Tim Price calls me to go duck hunting, let's go. It's more like a family. Then you're indebted. You feel like you want to work harder for that person. You remove the relationship, and there's no tie to the company. They just send you a check, and you never see them, and they never talk to you. It's really hard to give that guy 100% because you're not vested in his interest.
So Tim Price is listening to this, Gerald. So the next time we get 4 to 6 inches of ice on the area lakes, we'll have Tim give you a call, and we'll get the ice fishing rods out, okay?
I'll make y'all a deal. I'll go ice fishing with Tim if he'll come throw a big DT20 crankbait on the ledges one day in August from sun up to sundown on Governor with no wind, and it's 105 degrees. I'll trade for an ice fishing trip, and we'll see who can survive. I got a feeling he's going to get me in that ice, but I'd like to see him come down and throw a plug like that. But, dude, I'm up for ice fishing. I'm up for the challenge. I told my wife, I said, I could live up here in South Dakota. There's a lot of game-rich environment between the pheasant and the mule deer and the whitetail. I'm like, yeah, this could be my place right here.
Yeah, and you know, we only got to see the shores of Lake Oahe. I mean, the rest of it's still out there. So good to have you on today, G-Man. We thank you for spending a little time. Let's do this again when we'll bring you in on that Facebook Live invite. That thing's just starting to go. That's kind of the future to promoting some of that type of stuff. So we really appreciate it. We thank you. And when's the season done? And what's a parting shot?
We're fixing to kick it back off. We're going to leave Upper St. Lawrence at Waddington is in 2 weeks, but I'm going to leave next Tuesday. Go up about 4 days early and fish them some smallmouth. I'm taking my little nephew that loves to fish, and I'm going to take him out on the big water at the bottom end of Lake Ontario. So when we wrap up the St. Lawrence Elite Series, we'll have one more tournament at the AOI tournament out here at Chattoog, and then the season kind of winds down. And, you know, us rednecks, I've already been bush hogging and spraying and getting green fields ready to plant, deer feeders up. So we'll go what I call the redneck vortex. We'll come right out of tournament fishing right into a deer stand.
That sounds fun. All right. Another week of On the Water in the Air. Gerald Swindle has been our guest this morning. We want to thank you for listening. We'll catch you next Thursday morning at 7:40 a.m. Take care.